Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Episode 54. I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me, as always,
is Pat.
And Kat, not in hat.
Not in hat. But awesome super hoodie. Dope hoodie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a Spider-Gwen hoodie for those of you who can't see Kat right now.
It's pretty grand.
Did you guys see the promo art? There was a Spider-Gwen 2099 cover that's going to
yes,
be out.
Yes! I saw that.
Really wish you had like the... I don't even want to read that series, but I want that cover.
Right.
Wish you had just like the see-through hood.
Yeah, like the hood is an energy hood
like
or something.
Hologram or something. Yeah, that was so cool.
That's
an awkward moment where I'm like, take my money! Wait, stop right? taking my money!
I'm actually pretty excited for the 2099 stuff. That was definitely a 90s construct that I like loved as a kid.
I got the first one.
Which one? Like, way back?
No, I pre-ordered the,
Oh, 2099 number one, or Alpha, I don't know.
Weird
number in Marvel.
Yeah, I'll see where that is when they come out.
I'm definitely picking up Amazing Spider-Man number one because, Patrick Gleason is doing the art, and then it's, Peter with, Miguel.
Stop telling me things.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Pat, Nat, stop telling me things. Shut up. No one wants to hear from you.
Right.
Stop spending my money.
I'm going to have to read that, too, because Patrick's got to support other Patricks.
Right? And I miss him on Young Justice already. You know?
See, now I feel like I need to buy you a Patrick the Star where he's got the board in his head.
That's pretty funny.
Oh,
a little
God.
Pop. It's pretty great.
Please.
Well, I mean, rather than talking about things we are excited about reading in the future, what were you guys, you know, what was the top of the stack this week for y'all? Or this weekend? Last week, I suppose.
Be 45 minutes to find the page.
Yeah, so we're having a conniption fit. Well, before you lose it again.
Yeah. What is your top
of
the stack?
I didn't read this first, but after reading it, I should have read it.
Yeah.
But I read Flash Forward Chapter 1, and I was actually surprised. I just pulled the first one, and then I read it, and now I'm reading the next three.
Nice.
So it's by Scott LaBelle, and we've got Brett Booth for pencils. It was really awesome. They're actually talking, you find out about the Dark Multiverse a little bit more and what it's supposed to happen with them, and now it's not doing that. So, Wally gets to travel the Dark Multiverse, it looks like, and I'm pretty stoked.
Yeah, I dig Brett Booth's art with this.
I don't like Wally's face, though.
Yeah, that's kind of Brett Booth's faces.
Oh, okay, well, all
but
right.
But he's good at doing the action and the speed stuff.
Oh, definitely.
So.
Oh, yeah, I would completely agree, and I will say... There's one thing you should kind of notice when you look when after Wally talks to somebody important, you should check out his costume because an interesting change is there. And then I kind of was looking at it the other day. And the final end page. Yeah, I was just kind of looking at it, and it's mostly because the energy kind of drew me to it. But yeah, the last page is pretty great, and I actually knew who it was because I haven't read all of it, but I should.
The multiverse stuff.
Yes.
Multiversity, I think, was where he really does a big...
God, I love that stuff so much. It's weird. Anyways, it's somebody else's turn before I keep going about this for 45 minutes.
Right.
I wonder if multiverse theory, there's a universe where multiverses don't exist.
That'd be really hilarious.
I don't know how that works. I'll have to ask.
I'm not that smart.
More science-y.
I just want to watch Fringe now that you say that.
God damn. What was your top of the stack, Nat? What did you read
first? My top of the stack was Batman Curse of the White Knight, Book 3, written by Sean Gordon Murphy, with art by Sean Gordon Murphy, and colors by Matt Hollingsworth.
Nice.
This book is getting progressively better as time goes on.
Yeah, it seems like he's on a nice slope of up.
Yeah. Although there was a joke in here that I was personally offended by as a Puerto Rican.
Oh, that was hilarious. With
no, that shoe was wonderful.
I was laughing out loud actually when I heard that.
That happened, and then what was the coat hanger?
Holy shit, the coat hanger!
I was like, you know, I was like, should I be laughing? I was like, I don't have much innocence left, but I think it just took the rest of it with that joke.
Yeah,
I know, right? Yeah, the first one, it's Detective or Commissioner Gordon steps down, and Detective Montoya right, is promoted, and one of the guys is like, well, if this falls through, you can always do what, you know, Puerto Rican lesbians do best. And open up a taco truck called the Pink Taco.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
I could not believe that.
I hope your taco shows are pink, too.
Kat's over there reading the page, and, like, she reads that, and, like, Sean Murphy just appears out of nowhere and like fist bumps him and just like disappears again.
I will say the one thing I miss more than anything else is all of the gay jokes. So you give me a good gay joke, I will laugh.
Yeah, right. Like our sensitive culture. It was nice to like. Apparently, he was nervous about it though. He kept asking other people to read.
Wasn't he nervous about the coat hanger thing?
Yeah, there was three things that made him nervous about what fans were going to react to. Number one was the coat hanger joke.
Yeah, that one.
Number two was the Montoya Commissioner Gordon joke, Walter Montoya and Harvey Bullock joke.
Yeah.
And then number three was the fact that Batman assembles a crib in two panels between the panels.
Oh, does he finish it? I didn't even
He does it completely in two panels.
That's funny.
I forgot about that. My favorite quote is that who needs a screwdriver should come with a screwdriver. And I was like, that's what everyone says all the time, and it's right.
You know what I love the most about this scene is the fact that Harley has a Harley-themed bathrobe.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's this perfect. Entire, and it looks fluffy and, like, comfy, too.
I feel like her entire world is just Harley Quinn-themed, even though she's, like, she was done with that role. It's really weird.
Right, exactly.
I had one criticism with this book, though. And I don't know... I guess I can get into, like, major spoilers here. Yeah, so if you're listening, major spoilers ahead. When Azrael kills Commissioner Gordon at the end, he doesn't have his cigarette in his mouth for two pages. He's, like, smoking a cigarette when he goes out of the bar. And
he
then it's not there.
I'm pretty sure.
When Azrael stabs him, like, it shows the cigarette, like, falling out. And then there's, like, the two panels where it, like, hits the ground and stuff, but for like a page there in between, he's definitely not smoking his cigarette.
Yep. This is true. Just a random inconsistency. Like,
I'm over here. I'm like, I'm fine with the game.
Other than that, this book was fucking perfect.
Jokes that people shouldn't laugh at, but they were hilarious. The coat hanger one, I was mostly just, that was like a shock humor moment. I was like, ooh.
But that's like so in line for Harley's character, though.
For Joker's character.
Yeah. Or Joker's character, excuse me,
You know, and Joker does say he would take care of one of the kids, right? Or he'd pay child support.
Yeah, well, I think that he's, like, sort of...
Honestly, if he doesn't do another book about the twins that she's having, and one of them is Joker-esque and the other one is normal, I'm gonna be pissed.
I think he was alluding to that, though, when he was like, I'll just take care of the one that's mine, like, one of them being Napier's kid and the other being Joker's kid. And that would be interesting, because he could have that in this book, like, because they're being born, like, right now.
The other half of me is kind of like, I hope one of them's, like, a Batman, and the other one's a Joker, and we can have the fighting brothers.
That would be hilarious if it, the one has like the more square jaw of Batman, Batman. The others, you know, the skinny face like Joker, like baby.
But the Batman one is the one that's very Joker-esque. The Joker looking one is the one that's more like on the side of justice.
Way. The Joker one's just crying and like screaming and stuff, and the Batman one is just like wah.
Just the crying, baby. Yeah, this is a really intense issue. And my headcanon now about the cigarette is that Azrael thinks it's funny to have the cigarette in his mouth, so he puts it back there. He puts it back in his mouth before stabbing him.
He thinks so?
Yeah, that's what happened.
He's just like, this will be more cinematic here. Yeah, here you go. Smoke, Gordon.
It's like, especially with looming tuning, blind. He's just like, I have the cigarette. I don't want to blindfold you. I have to give
you a thing. The sword lights up before being stabbing into Joker, so that's really interesting.
Well, he does that when he first gets it too. Mm-hmm. When he wields it, he catches it on fire.
Yeah,
because when you get stabbed by a giant sword, being on fire somehow makes it worse.
The other half of me is like, well, look, he was nice and cauterized the wound, but he also went through his spine, so I don't think it works out that way.
Also, how dark is it that Gordon presses the revolver up against Azrael's chest and fires to get him to kick back and pull the sword out?
Oh, I didn't even realize that's why he, like, that's why. I just thought he had pulled it out.
No, he does he shoots him and then the kickback. They separate from each other.
I definitely did not read it. Oh my god, dude. The last few pages of this are just devastating.
Yeah, this is like, I'm so glad when creators can just get carte blanche and just do what they want to do.
Yes, we keep saying this all the time on the show.
Yeah. Also, it looks like from the preview, the next issue, we're going to get a little bit of a Jason Blood action.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. I was getting so pissed, too, because I was like, who is that? I know who, like, what is his name? What is his damn name?
So we might get a Sean Gordon Murphy demon.
That would be cool.
Etrigan.
Oh, nice.
That'd be fucking cool!
I love
that. So, yeah. Each issue gets better and better for that book.
Alright,
Patrick's
turn.
Yay. Well, the first thing I read is actually last week, I guess. But, goddamn.
Marvel Action.
Marvel Action, Captain Marvel, issue number 2, written by Sam Maggs, with art by Sweeney Boo, and colors. I really have to give a shout out to the colorist on this one. As well, excuse me, Brittany Pierre, because it's just so much fun artwork. Yeah, and we get, this is my favorite
page. Military Flurkin.
It's the Flurkin War Room, so it's just a bunch of
cats. But at the same time, they're military kitties.
Yeah, like military uniforms sitting.
It is a perfect plan to invade Earth would be to use the Flurkin, because nobody's expecting it.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I'd have 4 of them.
So. Yeah, so you and Andy are, you know, fucked.
Yeah, pretty much.
When the flip.
I mean, look how cute they are. Yeah. Well, they're all orange kitties, too, and that's what I, when I got my cat, that was specifically, I was like, I want an orange kitty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, and also Tally. The mohawk is back with Sweeney Boo's art, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did the Guardians of the Galaxy. This book is so much fun.
Look at Rocket. He's so pissed.
Right? Yeah, this is only a 6-issue miniseries.
Three
issues. Yeah. So the next one is the last one. No, I'm so sad.
I know. It's just.
Are they going to continue to do like lines, but with different superheroes, perhaps?
Like, yeah, this is the fourth line.
Yeah, I forgot the
first. Oh, for Marvel Action?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've done...
Is it the same creative team, or do they...
No, it's completely different creative teams.
Okay. I'm, like, trying to understand.
What were the other ones?
They've done Marvel Action Avengers, Spider-Man...
I read Avengers.
Black Panther, so far.
What? How did I miss the Black Panther one?
I don't know that you did. I thought we had issue 1 for you. Maybe you never got to reading it, but...
Huh. Yeah. Oh, maybe I forgot.
I don't know. That's a pretty ingenious plan, because like I said, we'd have 4 of them. But yeah. Because we've got, well, technically 2, because we've got Marigold, who's a little orange tabby, and then we have Toby, who's, his color is technically buff. The cat's not buff. But anyways, he's, we'd have 2, so that'd be problematic.
Probably, you know, it's funny,
the other 2 cats.
I don't know about the physiology of Flurkin, too, like if it's only the females that have the galaxies inside of them, or what, so...
Oh, that's a good question.
Because we know that Chewie is female.
Yes, but
I just assumed they like all did it. Because we got the little Chewie bobblehead from that. We call it a replacement Marigold.
Aww. Aww. Cool. Well, that's a weird one. I've read all of the top of the stacks this week. That's strange.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That is interesting. It's really weird. Yeah. Well, cool. We've got some, like, random news from all sorts of corners of, like, nerddom. We are big fans of Tom King here at Capes and Scowls West.
I feel like we should preface that.
Well, and that's the thing. But personally, have not been a fan of his recent Batman run. I've been vocal about this. So DC on Batman Day actually released the information for the new creative team for Batman taking over for Tom King and his artistic team. Starting in, we might have breaking news here really soon. Kat's actually doing some research. But on the Batman team, we are going to have James Tynion, or Tynion the Fourth, and Tony Daniel will be the artist.
One more time, I missed that.
James Tynion the Fourth will be writing Batman, and Tony Daniel will be doing the pencils.
Take my money.
Yeah, see, and I feel like that's the reaction they want. I personally felt like this was a little safe.
They did it on purpose. I love James. Anytime they announce James Tynion for anything, I'm like...
Yeah. I mean, he's a great writer, and Tony Daniels is a great Batman artist.
His Detective Comics run that he did, that was actually last year?
It was the Rebirth Detective Comics.
Yeah, he did a run... Yeah, it was sometime last year, but it was the one where finally... It was the point where Batwoman and Batman had to finally separate... Because she got in trouble for doing... Basically, she shot Clayface, and he was pissed because he killed her.
Yeah.
And that was an amazing run. I read all of those and I'm like, I love Hugh Chancellor.
Yeah. Well, I like Tony Daniel's art. I would have liked something a little bit more flashy personally, like a name.
The other part of me is just like, Greg Capullo, what you doing? Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean, I know what you're doing, but come back.
I feel like Capullo's time with Batman is done until
he's going to do something else. I don't know what, but I'd be interested.
Well, him and Snyder are supposed to be working on something else as well outside.
Yeah, I remember that one too. I was like, can you do like. Give me someone cute.
This is definitely this is a DC, like, correcting the response to King's run. Because they're talking already about Nightwing, Dick Grayson coming back in 2020 as part of this Batman line. So it's not going to be Rick Grayson. So they're sort of a return to form. Almost like what Rebirth was supposed to freaking be. And yet faded away into something way too dark. So
I don't even know if it necessarily went dark. After the wedding issue, I feel like I was slighted.
Yeah.
And I think what was it? The next three or four, Tom King doesn't do well when you give him 2 weeks apart for an issue, when you give him
a month
or you give him a specific set of issues, like six, because I feel like even nine went a little badly.
Yeah. I mean, Mr. Miracle is still one of my favorite. That's like,
true. Is Mr. Miracle 12?
12. Yep, it was, one of my favorite books of last year.
Oh, yeah, I think that Mr. Miracle was, a pinnacle of storytelling.
So. Yeah. So, but you're absolutely right, though, about, like, he needs to have a set limit. When you're like, you're going to be writing this until you die.
Well, he
like,
was writing, he was signed for a specific amount of issues, and I can't remember what the exact number was.
100.
Was it 100?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he should not have 100 issues.
He's getting at 85, and then he's going to get the Batman Catwoman miniseries. So,
see, and I think that'll probably be nice. Good.
Yeah.
Though I don't know who decided to make Batman look like Tom Selleck at one point, but
I loved it. Sexy Tom Selleck Batman is pretty gorgeous. Like that was incredible.
You let him grow. Oh, look, it's Tom Selleck.
That was amazing.
Should we stay? There's some other Batman news.
I want to end there.
Oh, okay, you don't want to.
No, I don't want to start with that.
Okay, sorry for for jumping the gun on that one.
So, Spider-Man is back at Marvel. The third movie release is in 2021.
What?
July 16th, 2021. And apparently they were able to reach another agreement, and I really want someone to give me the fine print of this agreement because I'm really curious. Because I know that Sony was like, get bet DC, or DC, get bet Marvel. Disney, we want more money.
So it's one movie,
yes,
and then one MCU appearance.
Is that what it is?
Oh.
So.
Okay, so.
Well, see, and I don't have that
an Avengers
type
thing.
So basically, Sony Pictures and Walt Disney Studios have announced the third movie in the Spider-Man Homecoming franchise will be co-produced by the two studios with Marvel Studios head Kevin Feige on board for the third installment. The studios have also set the film to hit theaters July 16, 2021.
I knew this was happening the whole time. Everyone was like, oh my god, Spider-Man's out of the MCU. And I was like, in a month, Disney's going to fork over another $10 trillion and Sony will be happy.
Yeah, because like, basically what they did was, fuck you, Disney, we want more. And then they walked away and they're like, we'll show you. And Sony's like, no, you won't.
I'm just thinking about the fucking South Park episode when Canada goes on strike and Sony's over there. They're just like, we want more money, buddy. And they're like, okay. And they're like, how about some of that Spider-Man money? Why don't you give us some of that Spider-Man money?
Honestly,
they don't know how Spider-Man works, do you?
I don't know. After Into the Spider-Verse, though, they're pretty, I'm curious to see how they can, like,
I'm hoping as a result of this development that maybe we'll get more word on the Into the Spider-Verse sequels, because that was my thought, the casualty of this whole thing, is if Sony was going to spend so much time on the Tom Holland Spider-Man franchise, that we were going to lose the opportunity of the momentum of Into the Spider-Verse, and we're not going to get another animated film.
Fair enough.
Like, that's the best comic book movie ever made, in my opinion. So
really
to not
is.
Get another Agreed. One, so
yeah. No, I think and I think having the live action ones and because Into the Spider-Verse was co-produced as well.
No, Into the Spider-Verse
or was
it
just
solely Sony?
Sony,
okay.
Sony Animation.
Cool. Yeah. Then if you just do the live action ones co-produced and leave Sony the animated ones. I think that's probably a smart move going forward.
At least for the next, you know, 3 or 4 years to do this. So, which is good. This ties up an arc that was left over by Far From Home. So,
still haven't seen it. Awkward.
It's good.
Yeah. It's really Maybe they'll kill off Peter in the MCU, honestly.
Whoa, that would be nuts.
Well, it would make a lot of sense because then they could just start fresh and you could still use Tom Holland in the Sony movies just as a Spider-Man of that universe as opposed to having him be the MCU
Spider-Man.
Oh,
you're Spider-Man trying to pull from the 616. Yeah. Or pulling away from the 616.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so you maybe not even dying, but, like, you could have an interdimensional thing and, like...
And he just, literally gets pulled out of it.
Yeah, and you could swap him with Miles or whatever, because... Well, I guess you don't even have to swap universes, because they've already established...
You could do the Ultimate Universe story and actually have Miles, like, tell the end sequence of... Or the beginning sequence of Into the Spider-Verse in the MCU, and have Miles witness Peter's death and have to be the new Spider-Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then you could bring Donald Glover back again.
You could bring Donald Glover back again.
Yeah, as the Prowler.
Right.
That would be awesome.
It would be pretty awesome.
So.
Crazy. That's like, that broke minutes ago.
Yeah.
So,
like, it popped up in my thing. It was like 9 minutes ago. I was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, seriously. Good
to be on top of everything. So this is going to be, once again, Kevin Feige producing, correct? Is what we have.
Yes, that's
what they... I believe he's co-producing.
So that's a nice segue into some other news. Kevin Feige is set to produce a Star Wars film with Kathleen Kennedy.
What?
So, what that means for... I just got a Facebook message. Spider-Man is back in the MCU.
Nice.
What that means for the rest of the Star Wars franchise is interesting. Because we know that Kevin Feige is an architect. You know, like, that's how he operates. And if he's doing one, does that mean he's doing many? Or is this a test trial of one? Is this... Kathleen Kennedy handing her role over to somebody else, so they're going to co-produce one together before
Feige a lot of stuff.
Completely takes over? Who?
Oh, she's produced a lot of stuff.
Oh, Kathleen Kennedy? Yeah, she produced E.T.
Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, her name's on The Last Airbender. That's awkward.
Ooh.
Everybody has blips on their radar that they...
I'm not saying
to be forgetting.
I know, that was just... That's not a blip, that's a gouge.
To her credit, she saw the potential in the animated series to do a live-action movie and finance that.
Oh, hey, she did Roger Rabbit. I love Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Well, because... I don't know. I totally forgot what I was going
with. Feige with the Star Wars, or...
Yeah, something like that. Whatever.
Yeah.
I can't remember now.
Well, there's a lot of, like, weird, interesting rumors about the Star Wars franchise in general. Like, who has movies, who's directing, who's writing, and who's producing. Because Rian Johnson's supposed to have a trilogy, Benioff and Weiss are supposed to have a trilogy, and now Kevin Feige has a Star Wars movie. Are any of them the same project? I think that would be the interesting thing.
It's too much Star Wars, man.
Well, and that's the thing, is they're not supposed to do a movie until 2022, is supposed to be the next release date after Rise of Skywalker, and then it's every 2 years. So how many people can be involved with that? That's a limited window. That's 6 movies in the course of 12 years? 14 years? And you're talking about 9 movies in development, or something to that effect?
It's way too much shit, man.
And that's the thing, is it doesn't make sense. It mathematically doesn't make sense. That's not... That can't happen. Something... One of these projects that's been announced isn't actually happening, is what that means.
Yeah. I feel like they're just gonna, like, throw as much stuff into the works as possible, and then, just see how the crowd reacts, and then, like, pick from the... Yeah. You know, they just, like, hold up, like, signs or whatever, and they're like, Benioff and Weiss, and, like, 5 people are like, and then they're like, you know, Kevin Feige, and then 10 people are like,
yeah,
you know.
And that's actually, like, there's a little bit of a rumor going around that maybe Benioff and Weiss have stepped away from wanting to do a Star Wars film or Star Wars trilogy because of their contract with Netflix, slash what happened with Game of Thrones, you know?
Cough, cough.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's all right. I honestly want to see where they're going. I think they just got really burnt out on it.
Yeah. And, I mean, some of the cast got burnt out and wanted to be written out earlier than they were originally supposed to be.
Yeah. Because they still have, like, individually, they still, not Game of Thrones-wise, but they have some of my favorite episodes of television that, yeah. that they've written.
Cool.
I mean, we entered Game of Thrones realm, and Kat's like, oh,
okay. Yeah, I know, right?
I'm like, what am I doing today?
Game of Thrones and space stuff, Kat's out.
Anybody seen Kat? I think she left the room. We talked about Game of Thrones, and then we went right into space. She's gone.
Patrick, do you have any news you wanted to, like, touch on before we get into some of the deep stuff?
Yeah, there's a couple interesting things I saw, just sort of stuff. One thing is apparently Image Comics is sponsoring Banned Books Week, which was this past week.
Okay.
As in the 23rd through today, the 27th.
Okay.
And they had a bunch of their, like, authors and artists, like, at different libraries around, or where was it specifically? It was they did a library live stream for each day of the week, and so Monday they had Andre Fratino and Sanford Green.
Cool.
Tuesday was Sloan Leong and Henry Brajas. Yeah, and they were talking. All of them have themes, too. They're talking about banned people and post-colonialism.
Okay.
Ronald Wimberly, and Nate Powell, and Scott Bonner as well.
Cool.
And then Thursday was Michelle Perez, Grace Ellis, and then Friday, today, I don't know if it's out yet, but they have David F. Walker and Ray James talking stuff. Cool. So, yeah, some big people. I think that the videos are available online somewhere.
Oh, awesome.
I haven't actually looked them up, but yeah, just like a quick, like, you know, like a seminar, a talk about these subjects, you know.
These books that...
Yep, today's is privatization and gatekeeping.
Oh, fucking gatekeeping.
Yeah, I know, right? So,
I've bitched about that enough.
Yep, yeah, so I think a very interesting thing. I love Banned Books Week because, you know, it's just like, how do you get kids to read books? You ban them.
Right.
Another, like, in semi-nerd news culture, but the Bechdel test was officially added to Merriam-Webster's, which was a term that was originally coined by cartoonist Alison Bechdel back in 1985.
It was coined in 85? I did not know.
Yeah, well, she used it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite things ever. I forget what comic it was, but it was some, like newspaper strippy kind of thing. More indie, obviously, because you can't really have stuff like that in the major comic, in major newspapers. But, the last sort of, like, random bit of news I have is I was talking last episode about how The Boondocks is going to be renewed. And so, officially, it's going to be on HBO Max.
Okay.
And Aaron Magruder, not at the same time that they released the first episode of the new season, he said, and I don't know what this is going to be, but that he's going to re-release seasons 3 and 4, but with him. So, like, he left the show after season 2, which is why it kind of went downhill. And so they said that he wants to rework the seasons or redo them.
Interesting. Not like, re-editing and then, like, changing story beats kind of thing?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe, like, even, making a few new scenes or whatever to make, like... I have no idea what this entails, but, yeah, they said that it's not going to be, like, remastered or whatever, but that he wants to, like... edit them.
That's
essentially
cool. That's really cool. It's a lot of work for animators, but that's really cool.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it still is not going to be for a while now, so they have some time to do that. Cool. But I thought that was really interesting.
Good. So, well, last time we recorded, DC Comics tried to kill me, and then when we got home, I realized they really tried to kill me, and they announced that Daniel Warren Johnson would be doing a Black Label book at DC, Daniel Warren Johnson being my favorite artist in comics, and he would be doing a Wonder Woman title.
What?
Which, once again, lost my shit. Wonder Woman Dead Earth, number one, should be December 11th. And it is a post-apocalyptic Wonder Woman take where she wakes up from in a coma and...
I think I tried to pull that, but I couldn't find it.
It's not available yet, because it's December, so...
Oh, it wouldn't be December? Available. I thought you said November.
Yeah, December 11th, so it wouldn't even be solicited until this week, actually.
Oh, okay. And something new every day.
She wakes up from a comatose state, and most of humanity is gone, and humanity is, like, her... What she draws her strength from is hope in humanity and love. So what is Wonder Woman's purpose when most of humanity is gone?
Oh, that's so sad. That's like the recent run, so sad. Aphrodite just got killed and Wonder Woman like gets weaker because like love is dead.
Wow.
And, like it's really rough. And so that sounds like they're kind of
continuing. It's ironic that that's
like theme.
Well, it's funny. So Daniel Warren Johnson, I just listened to a podcast and he was talking about the fact that he actually got offered a job at DC on a title, like high-profile title as well. He didn't say what, but it already had a writer attached, and he actually turned it down because he said he wanted to write his own thing if he was going to do anything with them.
Yeah.
So they were like, cool, pitch us something, and he pitched this. So
interesting.
Yeah. He's been video or live-streaming some of the cover work that he's doing for the book. It's gorgeous. It's Daniel Warren Johnson. I mean, come on. It's going to look fucking amazing.
DWJ.
So, yeah. Couldn't be more excited about a book, honestly.
Nice. That sounds super exciting.
Cool. You got anything else before we start talking about castings?
Well, I have one thing about casting, but not. I think it's a little different than what you were talking about. The HBO Watchmen. They released a. It's here. I'll just show both of you. But it's just a.
Oh, like there's a actually a panel.
Cast. Yeah, and they have like the director and whatever. It's just a.
What does it say?
Oh, Jeremy Irons just says probably who you think he is.
Yeah, probably who you think he is. Yeah, Jeremy Irons is probably Ozymandias.
Yeah. And so then, what we get from this is absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Pretty much, because it sounds like a new set of people. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. Mm. And a couple of the other people.
I'm just like, anymore, they're like, here's your news for this. And I'm like, can I just watch it?
Right.
I know, right?
Can I just see it? I'm done. just throw it on the screen and let it happen. And dear God.
All right, well, we got to get into the casting announcements or non-announcement by James Gunn for the Suicide Squad. Oh, and it just went away. Son of a bitch. So he released a tweet that is that is the entirety of the main cast, quote-unquote, for Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
It was still good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you just got it. Okay. I'm just going to read the names off, and the tweet says don't get too attached, but we're just going to go through this because this is really fast. David Dasmalchian, John Cena, Jai Courtney, Joaquin Cosio, Nathan Fillion, Joel Kinnaman, Mai-Ling Ning, Flula Borg, Sean Gunn, Juan Diego Botto, Storm Reid, Pete Davidson, Taika Waititi, Alice Braga, Steve Agee, Kanashi Kajasi, Daniel Melchior, Daniela Melchior, Jesus Christ, Peter Capaldi, Julio Ruiz, Jennifer Holland, Viola Davis, Idris Elba, Margot Robbie, and Michael Rooker.
Dude, what is this movie?
So, we know Margot Robbie is playing Harley Quinn.
Hooray!
We assume Jai Courtney is going to play Captain Boomerang again. Viola Davis, we assume, is going to come back as Amanda Waller.
Hopefully.
We don't know who Idris Elba is. We've heard Bronze Tiger has come up several times.
Oh, that would be dope. Oh, my gosh.
But the real casting that I want to talk about is Nathan Fillion.
What?
Because I think what we should cast, what he's going to be cast as, because this would be the biggest joke, is to cast him as Firefly.
Yay! Intertextuality, I love it.
I guarantee he will be the first one to go.
He will be the first one to go. I actually think Taika will be the first one to go. I don't know who Taika will play, but
I heard rumors that he's going to play some sort of just voice some sort of like
voice something.
CGI.
Well, that's
characters kind of like he did
in
Ragnarok,
right? Because Steve Agee has been rumored for King Shark. So
okay, yeah, that would.
Oh,
be...
Oh, maybe no, they don't want to kill off Clayface. That would be a really bad thing.
That would be a terrible decision.
Pete Davidson. What the heck? That one. There's a lot of it in there. Pete Davidson and Peter Capaldi. I saw getting announced at the same time, and I was like, "What the heck is this movie?"
Rumors about Peter Capaldi is that he is Simon. Because he shaved his head for the role.
Oh my god, that would be nuts.
I want somebody's got to be Condiment King in this.
Like, oh my god,
has
please!
To be a thing.
If that's okay, that this has to be Pete Davidson.
Do you want to watch the Lego Batman movie?
Oh, nice! Yes,
I think we were talking about the Condiment King, and I was like, wouldn't that be great? Like to have the scene where you know his hand,
in yeah, the hand like, in the pile of the blood.
And then like it's like mustard. Two biscuits. Yeah, and then like the mustard starts coming out too.
It was ketchup the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Condiment King, what happened? Like what happened? And he's like, it's. Delicious.
Yeah, right? I hope we get a bunch of Amanda Waller clicking the button and just blowing some heads off.
You know? I just want like a montage of that. Hopefully there's some classical music or like 80s pop music.
I was thinking more 80s pop.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what would be great?
You
know
can dance if you want to.
No.
You can leave your friends behind.
Queens, do you want to live forever? Do you want to live forever? Boom! You want to live. Like how beautiful would that be?
And I'm like standing here thinking about the just like another one bites dust, and I'm like,
That would be good too.
Another one bites the dust. Yeah, another one. Boom, boom, boom. And then you can get like a 2-for-1.
Yeah. Boom, boom.
This is awesome. This movie, I'm so excited for.
Me
this.
Too.
It's just like in general, and with James Gunn in there,
yeah.
And like all, like with this many people announced, like you know, I love famous people.
Pretty sure
people
his tweet said don't get attached.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so with this many people attached, that tells me like that they all saw this script and were like, please, for the love of God, let me be in this movie. And actors and actresses know when they're given good scripts and they want to be in those movies.
I hope Sean Gunn gets to actually play himself as a character. You know, like because he's great in the Suicide Squad movies, both as the. Suicide Squad, excuse me. The Guardians movies, both as Rocket and as the second in command to Yondu. I always forget the character's name.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about, though.
Yeah. All right.
So excited.
What I really want to spend some time on is the Batman casting rumors. So far, there's one cast member in this movie, and that is... Robert Pattinson as Batman. Everything else is unconfirmed, but we're going to go through the names that keep coming up, their potential castings, or who they're in talks for, from the rumor mill. So we've got Jonah Hill, who is either in talks for Penguin or Riddler, or unspecified villain role is what really has been said.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Wright, who is in talks for Gordon. Andy Serkis, who is in talks for... We've heard Penguin. I have my theories about what that's going to be. We've got Giancarlo Esposito, who... Once again, no specific rumors tied to him, but ties to something else that will be talked about. Jamie Foxx, who I don't know who he could be. I would have thought Gordon, but we know something else on that one. And then a person of color is being eyed to play Catwoman.
Does it say specifically, or did it just say...
No, that Matt Reeves is looking for a POC for Catwoman.
Nice. I always thought of Catwoman, too. Maybe it's just because her first name is Selena, but I always imagined her being, like, Hispanic.
Right.
Actually. No, she's definitely not, but, like...
That actually brings me into two casting rumors combined.
Whoa.
If we talk about the POC Catwoman, and we talk about somebody who is of Latin descent... I believe that Giancarlo Esposito is in talks to play the Roman. I think he's going to be Falcone. Because this is supposed to be, once again, rumors. We're just going to be talking about rumors here. Is that the story is based around the Long Halloween. and
oh, God.
Yeah, it's such a good story.
I'm fine. Yeah.
And then we'll give them the opportunity to use plenty of villains.
In Honestly, this. I feel like they'd have to do a two-parter.
That's the other rumor, is that they're doing three films, and the three films are all The Long Halloween, Part 1, 2, and 3. But, once again, rumor.
Okay, so I have The Long Halloween digitally. I want it physically. Like, that's how much I love that
it's
story.
It's amazing. And it's one of Matt Reeves' favorites. But if you do Giancarlo Esposito as the Roman is related to Catwoman. So you'd have a Latin actor playing the Carmine Falcone, and then you could have a Latin actress playing Catwoman. And it makes sense, because you just have a darker skinned or like olive-toned Italian mobsters. And I think that works perfectly. So those are two of the castings that I thought. Everybody keeps saying Jonah Hill as Riddler or Penguin. I think people
are... Penguin in Long Halloween?
He has a bit part. Riddler's a much bigger role in Long Halloween.
It's been a while since I've read it, but I think you're correct.
I think he's Calendar Man.
I forgot Calendar Man was in that. Isn't he in a prison cell the whole
time? He's in a prison cell the whole time, so you'd have Jonah Hill playing a Hannibal Lecter character that Batman has to keep going to for clues.
Yeah.
I haven't read The Long Halloween, so it's so...
Oh,
God. Well, your initial thought was Penguin, too, right? Like, that was what you...
Yes, yeah. And I didn't even see the... I didn't actually see the rumors that you were saying, because after I looked...
You know what the cool
After
part?
I was looking it up, actually, I saw everyone was like, it's probably going to be Riddler or Penguin, but right. It's funny, because that was the first thing, like, just seeing his face, like, they can pale it up, like, to... And he would be a great Penguin, or, like, give him a hat.
Yeah,
that
would be cool. Is if at the start of the movie they started the movie out on whatever holiday it was.
Yep.
So they release it around Halloween, and I can't remember. And then they split it in however many parts they do, and then they do the next holiday, and then the last one. I think the last one they should try and do for Christmas, because I think that'd be cool.
That would be really awesome to release it around the season,
just like for Stranger Things.
Yep.
Yeah, you could do Halloween, Thanksgiving, and then Christmas. And keep
they do every holiday.
All the holidays. Like,
well, I'm just talking about release date.
Sure sorry.
Pretty sure they do Arbor Day, too.
I want to say that the release date for the Batman might be October of 2022.
Sure.
Oh, so...
So it might actually be the first one.
Oh,
the long
yeah.
Halloween.
So the Riddler does have a better part, you're right. But yeah. I don't feel like I remember seeing the Penguin.
The Penguin's, I think, in a single scene in the movie. Or in the story. I think the Penguin has a bigger role in Dark Victory than he does in
Dark Victory. So good.
Long Halloween. Jeffrey Wright rumored for Jim Gordon.
That is nuts. I love Jeffrey Wright so much. Like, but I would also love to see him as a villain, just because like he's so like ominous. Like a lot,
right.
he can get into that. I want to see Batman walk in, and it's like the classic thing where he's sitting in the armchair. He's like, "Hello, Mr. Wayne. I've been waiting for you."
Oh, that would be creepy.
Yes, I know. Right?
The thing about somebody said this online that Jeffrey Wright, one of his great skills is always looking tired, which would be like the perfect thing for Gordon. Gordon is always tired.
That's true. Give him a trench coat and like a plastic coffee cup.
Shave off the goatee, just have the mustache, and it would be like he'd look great.
Or you could keep the like, but it'd be like a 5 o'clock shadow goatee.
Yes,
you know?
with the big thick mustache over the top.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like that. For anybody who is not familiar with Jeffrey Wright, he was Bernard in Westworld, and he played Beatty in The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Wasn't he in Daredevil too, or am I mixing him with someone else?
Jeffrey Wright? Which Daredevil?
I think he was.
Wasn't he the newspaper dude?
Oh shit! You might be right.
Yeah.
And like
in season one of Daredevil.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was him.
I don't either. Goodness. I feel like there's another actor that looks
similar to him.
Super similar to him. It's,
whoa.
It's like I get there's one other actor that I always get confused with one another, and that's the kid.
He was in the 2000 Shaft.
Nice. Okay, I got to talk about my Andy Serkis pick.
Yeah.
Everybody keeps talking about him playing a CG character, or he's playing the Penguin, and that they're going to do something to make the Penguin look really like monstrous and crazy. I think everybody's missing the obvious role that Andy Serkis could play as a long part in a Batman story.
In the back of my mind, I'm like... Like, they tried to call Danny DeVito. It didn't work.
Why don't you just cast Andy Serkis as Alfred?
Whoa, that would be actually really great.
Age-wise, he's about 50, 60 years, or what, he's like 51, 52? So he'd be a younger Alfred, but we're also dealing with a Batman who's in his 30s, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, I think, I'm not sure that...
he's a weird-looking dude. I always forget that. He looks better with his beard.
He's British, right? He's not actually from New Zealand.
An English actor.
So okay. So, yeah, I could buy him as an ex-MI6 agent who turned into a butler. Like, that would be perfect casting.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't have to be in, like, makeup or CG, you know? Like, you just... Andy Serkis would just be on film. That's
weird. Yeah. No,
he's
that would
got,
be...
Like I said, he looks better with a beard. It's weird.
Andy Serkis?
Yeah.
Gollum himself.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no guesses, though, for the Jamie Foxx casting. I actually would have thought Jamie Foxx as Jim Gordon, but with Jeffrey Wright in talks for that role, I...
See, I have to, like, go through all the villains that were in that.
I mean...
There were a lot of villains in in Long Halloween.
Hmm.
Gonna do some perusing.
I think he's a little too old to play Harvey. I think you want Harvey Dent to be the same.
The big question is going to be, who's going to play the Joker? Because that's a good one.
I think you just skip the Joker out of the story. Honestly, I don't see a reason to put him in. He's a really bit part in that. He's, once again, bigger part of Dark Victory than in...
I really like this Christmas one, though.
Yeah.
I'm trying to...
It makes me think of Batman Animated Series, actually.
I don't know. He has such, like, there's so many Batman villains that are, like, really, like, themed on stuff, you know, like, themed villains, but I feel like I'm trying to think of just, like, a regular, quote-unquote, sort of villain that he would be.
He could just be, like, a officer, too. Like, he could be playing Bullock.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Which is my initial thought for, like, Jonah Hill.
Freaking Grundy.
Oh, yeah.
That would be kind of cool. Do a CG character, Solomon Grundy. That, actually, now that Solomon Grundy is in there, I wouldn't be surprised if Andy Serkis also plays that role. If he plays two roles, because it's easy for him to do that.
Yeah.
Two things.
I'm trying to think of all who's in this, because it's like, what? I think does he run into Scarecrow at one point?
Yep. Oh, God. Scarecrow could be anyone.
The other question is, who's going to be Poison Ivy?
They got to get a big name actress to do Poison Ivy. For once, they need to get a redheaded actress and not have redheads be cast.
Like, I'm not gonna yell and say, but like, do you people have a thing against redheads? Because that's the character you always replace.
Yeah, they always get replaced, and that's what, if Jeffrey Wright is Gordon, they did it again.
Exactly. I'm just like every single time. It's not me being an ass, but I'm like, why did let someone have a redhead, man? They're a dying species.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, gingers lose their roles to
everybody else. Get like Anna Kendrick.
And dye her hair red.
I thought she was a redhead. Or is she like strawberry blonde? Okay, never mind. I definitely have seen her in weird light then.
What was the actor who was also up for Batman before it went to Pattinson?
Oh, gosh.
Nicholas Holt, thank you. Yeah. I think he should play Harvey.
Nicholas, dude.
I've been touting that since the casting went through. I thought he would be a perfect Harvey Dent. If he was that close to being Bruce Wayne, casting him as Harvey is a no-brainer to me. Like, you just cast the person that was almost Bruce Wayne to play your and Harvey is a huge part of this story if they're doing a soft adaptation of The Long Halloween.
Yeah.
Got it.
And I am definitely on board for
what
the Eliza Gonzalez.
Calendar, man.
That could be really cool, too.
That would be terrifying.
Eliza Gonzalez is my choice for Catwoman. I've seen, like, people do fan art of her, and she looks like Catwoman. Like, it's crazy how much she looks like that.
I'm just, like, over here, I'm like, Michelle Pfeiffer will always be my Catwoman.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just had to say it.
No, it's fine. You gotta say what you gotta say.
It's really interesting, like, the way that Warner Brothers is handling casting right now, where just they're saying actors who are involved, but not specifying who they're going to play.
Because they know us nerds like to just write fanfic with these people as the characters.
Ooh, I'm trying to think if Zaz is in it, because I feel like Jamie Foxx could do a really good crazy dude.
Yeah, and they might add characters or switch characters up. Like I said, I don't know that they want to step on trying to cast another Joker at this point, so, like, you'll do something around that.
What if he was, like, Mr. Freeze? I feel like he would do a really good Mr. Freeze, actually. That's all I ever think of in a live action
with Mr. Freeze, and they've got to do real well on that. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
They just keep him like this sort of stern, sullen type of character that he actually is in the comics instead of the punchline to a joke that he was in.
That he is in the comics after Batman the Animated Series. Remember his origin story, everybody knows and associates with Riddler, or excuse me, with Mr. Freeze, was a construct of the Batman the Animated Series.
I did not know that, actually.
That was not the character before that.
Okay, so yes, post-animated series Freeze, I feel like he would do a good job with that.
I feel like he fits any of those roles. I really now like him as Calendar Man.
He's just a good actor in general, so he could do... Yeah, actually, if you had him as the Hannibal Lecter type, then that would be.
And then
it's Jonah really Hill weird because if you look at the picture of the way that Jeff Loeb and has Calendar Man, he's. I hope that if they are doing Long Halloween, they give the actors a comic and say, read it, check out your character.
I also hope that they don't try to, like, change a character to replace Calendar Man, and they actually use that character.
Oh my god, please, yes.
It also, like, it's too thematic. If they're gonna do Long Halloween, why would you not have the guy who actually is themed around holidays be a principal character in the story?
And it's a really, really, I'm honestly terrified, because Calendar Man's super creepy.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for all of these, and probably they're gonna get more because this is just
preliminary
announcements. Yeah. I'm gonna wait for the Suicide Squad-esque giant smatter of all the actors in this
and actresses. I think honestly, what they might be doing if they're doing a Long Halloween, this is part one stuff, and then part two they'll hide until they're done with the first one.
Right,
hopefully.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, well, maybe, hopefully. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just one at a time.
Yeah, no. Until we get more news on this, it's just at that, hopefully.
Speculation pretty much at that point.
But fun speculation.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Anywho, well, I guess with all that out of the way, it's time to sign off then, huh?
I'm ready.
Alright, well, bye.
Bye.